Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Are we going to do cover me on the way to church? Every time I come in, every time while on the interstate, I pray that God will cover you as you gather here today. Cover me, cover us with the covering of His Spirit. There's an Old Testament scripture that says, woe to them that go down into Egypt for help and seek and have not asked at my mouth and seek a covering, but not of my spirit. Seeking a covering, but not of my spirit. That's one of the greatest deceptions of the devil, to direct our faith to the people and to the material world and not the wonderful promise that He will cover us with the covering of His Spirit. They didn't ask at His mouth. They didn't even bother to pray about it. They said, listen, we got a lot of money, and Egypt has a lot of mercenaries. They had soldiers that would fight for anybody for money. That's what a mercenary is. They fight for money. It's not a cause they fight for. They fight for money. And they said, we can get a bunch of mercenaries from Egypt to add to our army, and we'll have it covered. We will have enough people to put on the field of battle to win our battles against our enemies, and we will have pay these mercenaries, and they'll take care of it. And God said, whoa. Everybody say, whoa. And I don't mean W-O-A-H, like pull back the reins. This is W-O-E. It's a little word, but it's pregnant with such import to us today. Yeah. Whoa. You know what it means? Literally in the Hebrew, if I can express it, I'm not going to give you the little Hebrew word, but what it expresses. Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no, you didn't. Amen. No, you actually, without talking to me, made this decision that you're going to trust Egypt's mercenaries for your covering instead of my covering? And you didn't even ask at my mouth. You didn't even ask my permission. You know, a lot of people want to make these decisions without praying about it because they've got the insurance to cover it, or they got the power to do it. They got the doctor who knows it all, can take care of it. So whatever he says, that's the final word. Until it all goes south. And when it all goes south, then suddenly God becomes extremely important. Amen? But he won't have it that way. You can't have it both ways. You can't use God, you know, to come in and undo. I mean, repentance can take you a long way, but there's a painful circumstances that occur to get people to the place of true repentance. And it's painful. You can't pray them out of it. There's a sequence that begins to lead us back to where we needed to be. So what God told them, woe unto them that go down into Egypt and seek a cup for help, have not asked at my mouth, and seek a covering, but not of my spirit. Listen to this part. That they might add sin to sin. Amen. Now, it's bad enough to be sinning before the Lord and lose His covering and blessing. But when you double down on it and double up on it, and you add sin on top of sin. It goes on to say in another verse of scripture in the Old Covenant, has a nation, listen carefully and think of America right now, has a nation forsook her gods? Has a nation forsook her gods? Yea, they have forsaken me, he said, the fount of living water, and hewed them out. Dug their own wells, cisterns. Actually, it wasn't a well. It was a big hole in the ground to catch water when the rains came and hold that water that they used for irrigation and whatever. Broken cisterns. What would happen during the drought season? this clay-lined pit to hold the water, it would crack in the bottom during the drought. And then when the rains did come, it wouldn't hold the water. Broken cisterns that hold no water. Has a nation forsaken their gods? Listen to this. They've committed two evils. Sin on sin. Same principle. Same thing. Adding sin to sin. Oh, a friend of mine, is the hardest thing for a pastor to do is to preach the truth to people that are about to do that or are doing that or have done that, to get them to come back to the Lord in repentance. Amen. Conviction is not comfortable. Can I get a good amen on that one?
Amen.
It's not comfortable. But it is God's wonderful love, mercy, and grace calling us to a place of repentance so he can restore the blessing. Yeah. Woe to those. Oh, no, you didn't do that. How could you do that? How could you? David decided, King David, you know something? There's a lot of enemies out there. This is the guy that is operated in the anointing that wouldn't put on Saul's armor. The guy that said, you come to me with sword and shield, I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, and there's this great, great victory. This guy that says, I've slain the lion and the bear. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine when the Spirit of God came on him? This same man now says, how many people can we put on the battlefield? That sounds like a reasonable, logical strategy for victory. We need to know how many we can put out there on the battlefield. But underneath that seeming wisdom and logic is a heart drifting from faith in God. God took it personal. God always takes that personal.
Yeah, amen.
Amen? Amen? He always takes that personal. He said, David, the prophet told him, listen, you shouldn't number Israel. Our trust is in the Lord. It's not how many we put on the battlefield. It's whether or not God is with us and God is for us.
Amen.
Gideon's 300 is one of the greatest examples of not how much that we can muster up, amen, and put out there, but what God can do with 300 committed.
That's right.
By His Holy Spirit.
Right.
Amen? Thank God for Gideon's 300.
Yeah.
Had 32,000 to start with.
Yes,
but God whittled them down. He said, if you get the victory, listen to this, if you get the victory with 32,000 troops, people will give those fighters and you the glory for the victory. But if I whittle you down to 300 and give you even a greater victory with those 300 than you could have gotten with 32,000, who's going to get the glory? Is it going to be the king? No. Is it going to be God? Oh, yeah. Why would he strip them of their resources and say, all you got is me now?
Yeah.
And yet you got everything and more that you need. You see this shift that David made from his faith in God, the power of God, to his military might on the battlefield. Suddenly, something happens in the holy city. And 70,000 people die of a plague. And David in the vision sees why. He sees God's angel, not an angel from the pit, not the devil. I want to clarify something, and I have to get this out. We're going to have this song. This is part of the whole service today. There is an angel with a sword drawn of the Lord. There is an angel of the Lord with a sword drawn. Didn't say it was a demon. Didn't say it was the devil. We give the devil too much credit and blame him too much. Too many people are not right with God, blaming the devil for defeat. If God be for us, it takes away that tendency to blame someone or something else. In particular, oh, the devil deserves the credit. He's the one behind. He tempts us. But listen carefully. Every man is tempted when he's led away of his own lust and enticed. We bear the responsibility for giving in to temptation. The devil's the tempter. That's his job. He's consistent. He's the tempter. And it's up to us not to give place to him. And once people realize they can't blame the devil, and they can't blame people, they have to assume responsibility. Some people simply do not want to be accountable and responsible to God. And those are the people that are going to flee a message like this. But it's the only message that can truly help them get back to where they need to be. There's no other message. Oh, they're out there. There's other messages out there. You don't have to deal with conditions of your heart. You don't have to deal with unforgiveness. You don't have to deal with unbelief. You don't have to deal with constantly doubting. You don't have to deal with trying to shift the blame instead of assume responsibility. David was a man after God's own heart, and he said, "Against thee only have I sinned, O Lord. I sinned against you. I want forgiveness. I want to be real and right with you." Preach repentance today, you get a blowback. Because people simply don't want to assume responsibility for the shape they're in. They'll blame me, and some people are going to even blame y'all. Yeah, you failed me somehow. That's why that I quit church, or that's why I did this, or that's why I did that. That's why I quit God. You failed me. No, 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 no. I reject that. Amen. I preach the gospel every Sunday. I preach it from a book that God said is going to stand when the whole world is on fire. Amen. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. Something that shocked me and still shocks me to this day when I got into pastoring over 50 years ago. How many Christians carrying this book were offended by it when something in it brought them into a place of responsibility and accountability? They pushed back at it. I don't want to hear that. Why? It's God's Word. The God we love, the God we serve. Amen. We should embrace the Word of God. Hallelujah. So God can embrace us. It's a hard time. A lot of preachers have compromised. I've been meeting with pastors for 15 years. And they are lamenting the fact that the standard has been lowered so low. Christians are not called to repentance. It's a lost message. It's what kept Jesus out of his own church at Laodicea. Where's he at? Before you relegate this to the world, understand the church of Laodicea was a church that professed Christ. And he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He shouldn't have to knock to come in here today. He should be welcomed. But you see, if he had came as just a healer and healed everybody sick in that church, he would have been embraced and welcomed. If he came to promise them unlimited finances, he would have been welcome and embraced. How do you know? Because he's welcome and embraced in the so-called prosperity movement that is failing the people it was preached to, because they're not prepared for facing the reality of the end times. They're certainly not prepared to make any sacrifices in order to serve Jesus. While our brothers and sisters around the world, are their churches are being burned and Christians are being burned. Amen. And yet people are still going after the greed and avarice message that drives the whole world system. It's not money. It's the love of money. And the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And people that have that kind of worldly, earthbound love of money for money's sake, the power, the pride, the prestige, the things. And thousands of Bible carrying. I didn't say Bible believing, because if you believe the Bible, you won't buy into that. Not one apostle represented that. Christ did not represent that. Can I give you a scripture? Thank you for the amens. I beat you. Thank you. Somebody tried the amen, but I beat you to it. The foxes have holes. The birds have nests. The Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. Tell me. Oh, that doesn't mean you don't have to go out and be homeless and live in your car. No, I'm saying Jesus did not represent, did not want to represent or intend to represent a kingdom based on the material world at the expense of the spiritual and eternal kingdom of God. No apostle lived that way. Demas thought, I'm going to be a big shot preacher. Get some good offerings coming in if I affiliate with the Apostle Paul. And instead of staying in the Conrad Hilton and eating prime rib on their missionary journeys, there was the threat. Paul experienced it. It was threatening Demas as associate of his, tied to a whipping post, given 39 stripes. I'll tell you, one would get my attention. And know that there's 38 more coming. And the only reason there wasn't more, you've heard of beating to within an inch of your life, the only reason there wasn't more is because people were known, if you passed 39, this was not supposed to be a corporal punishment to kill them, But to beat them so bad, whatever you're beating them for, they would never do it again.
Yeah.
They went into shock from the beating and died. So they put a limit on it to almost kill them. 39, 40 stripes, save one. The Apostle Paul experienced that for preaching Jesus on 5. Different occasions. I think the math would come out around 195, something, 39 times 5. 195 times on 5 separate occasions. About the time he's healing up from the last beating, he's strapped to the post and given it again. Can you imagine by the third time that he has not been delivered from that beating? But he's taken it for the testimony of Jesus.
Amen.
What's the testimony of Jesus in these pretty girls and pretty boys today? Where's the sacrifice? There is none. It requires none. Not only can't they qualify for ministry, they can't qualify as a follower of Jesus. Because all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I'm not talking about people bad-mouthing them on TikTok or on social media. I'm talking about people doing them physical harm and continuing to do it. I can imagine the third time, every time that I get my heart broken, I don't get angry, I get sick at heart every time people get upset over God's word. It really gets to me. It hurts me so deeply that people that name the name of Christ can't handle what the word of God is saying. If it isn't Bible, man, you can jump on me with both feet and demand that I explain myself. Yeah. But if it's in that book, I have no apology for preaching it. Amen. I'm not going to hold back. I said last week, I'm a mean old sheepdog. Yeah. Amen? Amen. In fact, when Lance left last week, he said, which I probably hope he could still show up, but he said, see you next week, you mean old sheepdog. And I didn't take it personally. And it was not disrespectful. I'm the one that said that. And I heard a preacher say that. And I thought, I am too. What's a mean old sheepdog? Before my old big fat fluffy Ziggy dog, 92 pounds going on 100, because he's still eating. Amen. When he wants me to do something, especially back when he was able to get out and walk, this heat is too much. He'd have a heat stroke, and I can't take him. But I would get up, I would head for the kitchen, and I would go to check my computer first, see if I had an email. And he would come up and get between me, because he's a herding dog. He's a Burmese shepherd. He herds sheep and protects sheep from wolves. And he would come up and he'd press up against me and not let me around him. But if I got around him anyway and sat down, he would come up right at my forearm or hand, and he would curl back his lips, and he'd go, nyeh, 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 nyeh. Little nibbles. But the little nibbles were a warning. If you don't get up from that chair and do what you know we're supposed to do right now, a bite is coming next. This is the sheep nibble. And the sheep knew the nibble was going to bring a bite if they didn't move, because that dog is trying to keep them. He's got two responsibilities. Keep the wolf out of that confine and keep the sheep in it. I got a job today and it's a toughie. I'm trying to keep the wolf out and keep the sheep in. So the word's going to bite some Sunday. Now if it bites you, you know why? God wants you to stay where he can keep you safe. You know what a lion would do? Let me give you this. The sermon's almost over. We're going to praise God in reverse today. You know what a lion would do to get the sheep out of the place of safety where the shepherd is keeping them, where they're safe and secure? He would. The lion is intuitive, and he would literally gauge which way the wind would carry his scent. And he would get either upwind, downwind, he would get in a position where the wind would carry his scent into that confined area. And he would urinate. And the stench of his urine would be carried, and the sheep would detect it as danger. And some of those sheep would run and try to jump over the enclosure to get away. And guess what happened? That's what he was counting on. Because if they stay within that place of security and safety, that shepherd is going to defend those sheep, and he knows it. And so is that sheep dog. And that sheep dog is going to bark and carry on to get the shepherd's attention. Amen. I'm a mean old sheep dog. But I'm telling you something. God loves you too much to let you fall for that device of the enemy. I was accused of being a hog of the pulpit because I wouldn't let somebody, I don't know their background, come and take this pulpit and preach to you. If I don't know their background, I got news for you. They're not going to stand behind it, because I'm a mean old sheep dog, and I'm not going to let a wolf come in here and divide this congregation. And if God removes somebody from this congregation, don't get too upset about it, because he loves his sheep. And if someone comes to divide and just want to be create division, they're not going to stay here very long. Not because I run them off. They may blame me because I'm a mean old sheepdog. Can you say amen? But because the Lord says, I'd rather have a few people that are in agreement than a church full of people with everybody in disagreement, because I can't move and I can't work in that kind of condition. Hallelujah. I take it personal, but I've got to remember, I'm a sheepdog. My job is to nibble and sometimes to bite. If that sheep's trying to get out, I come over and give the nibble. If the nibble don't work, we're going to get a bite. The bite is going to hurt. Now, my dog never bit me because I responded to the nibble. Amen. How many knows better to respond to the nibble? But he was getting impatient, and he did love me. There's no doubt. We took him in as a rescue dog. But he's a sheep dog. And it's amazing. I take one step toward my computer, and he immediately came over and pushed back. It's time to go walking. You sit down at that computer, it could be hours. You'll get tired and we'll never get to go walking. So he'd come over and he'd bump up against me. But if I pushed around him, saying, let me alone. Let me alone. Don't ever say let me alone when God is trying to get you into a safe place. Amen. He loves you. That's love. That's not trying to hurt you. It's trying to help you not get into trouble with the devil who wants your destruction. Amen. Then he comes over and goes, don't hurt. But you know what it is? It's a warning. The nibble means if you don't move, especially to a real sheep out in the real circumstance of herding, a bite is coming next. And the sheep knows the bite will come next, so the sheep goes ahead and moves back into where it's supposed to be. That sheep that smells that urine and lets fear drive them, jumps out of the enclosure, guess who is waiting? Because he knows as long as they're in the safe place, I can't hurt them. As long as they're in the safe enclosure, I can't hurt them. The dog will bark. The shepherd will come. Both the shepherd and the dog will come against me. But I've got to be in this safe place. I can't jump out. And the lion catches that one and destroys it. It would be better to be sheep nibbled by the sheepdog. Even bit by the sheepdog. Than it would be devoured by the lion. What is Satan likened unto? Satan goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. You can't be double-minded. You can't be wishy-washy. You can't be Christian one day and blow a gasket the next day and question God and run from God instead of to God. That's why the sheep nibbles come. And if we get so sensitive to God that we can obey the sheep nibble, we don't have to worry about the bite. What is the bite? Somebody asked me, what is the bite?
What is the bite?
Thank you. I'll tell you what the bite is. Very clearly, everyone who belongs to Christ, he chastens. Everybody say the bite now. If you can't get your attention with the sheep nibble, there's a bite coming. If you're a child of, if you're not a child of God, he's not going to deal with you, your sin, your attitude, your rebellion, or nothing else. Not now. You will be dealt with in the future when the judgment comes. But right now, it's concerning. Listen, where does judgment begin for God's people? It's not when we get to the Bema. Does it start when we stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ? It starts here now in the church. Amen. It must begin where? Where the light has shined, where the truth is given and is either obeyed or disobeyed. That's where it starts. At the house of God. Amen. You would think the house of God has no fear, no reason to concern ourselves about judgment. Positionally, that's true. We're right with God because we have Jesus.
Amen.
Right. Amen? Amen. If people want to use that for that positional righteousness to replace personal accountability and practical righteousness. For the grace of God that has granted positional righteousness has appeared to all men, teaching us that once you get under grace, you can do anything you want with no repercussions or accountability to God. And that is do you get how wrong that is? Not legalism. For the grace of God which hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness
and worldly
lust, we should live righteously,
soberly,
and godly, listen where? In this present world. We don't go with the flow. We don't give in to the culture. We don't try to blend the values of the world into our Christian worldview and our Christian life. It shows up when we vote. Oh, there's a lot of people that'll vote for somebody that is for everything that God is against. And carry a Bible and go to a liberal church. I said, and argue with you. And not only argue with you, they will disfellowship you. If you have a particular political point of view and embraces not just the people, but the policies. There's a lot of people I don't trust. In fact, I do not trust politicians in general.
Amen.
And few preachers.
Amen.
You can trust me to nibble you on Sunday morning and bite if necessary.
Amen.
Because I'm a mean old sheepdog. Because God cares about you. Because God loves you. Because there is a lion, a spiritual lion, that is looking for an open door, amen, to get in to do his dirty work and his destructive work in your life. I want to be under a covering of God's Spirit. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want to be kept by the power of God until the day of redemption. Praise the Lord. When he gets between me and what I think is his will, but it's not really his will, and he pushes back on what I'm praying for, I need to say, it's okay. It's all right. It's not what I want, but isn't there a biblical principle that says not what we will, but what he wills be done? Did Jesus not show that to us? Is it not in the pattern prayer for all prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? There's a lot of things I don't know why, but I know who is in charge. And I know that he is with me and he is for me. And I know something about me. I don't understand everything else, but I know something about me. I'm in the place God has opened for me to be. I'm in a pulpit where there's some people that say, that welcome the message. You want to be nibbled. Amen. You wouldn't be here if you didn't want something to challenge you. And if I became like everybody else, we've lost the whole thing. Because you're not going to hear what the Spirit says. You're going to hear what someone has well-planned, well-thought-out. You're going to hear a feel-good message. Whether you're right with God or not is a non-issue. And here's something you will rarely ever hear. Repent and do your first works unless I come to you quickly and remove your lampstand. Repentance is not welcome. That's what Jesus came to bring the church of Laodicea. His message is the man they wanted, but they wanted him to be everything they wanted him to be. The financier. They wanted him to take care of their finances, take care of their physical ailments, take care of everything else. But don't preach repentance to us because we're rich. We're increased with goods. Is that not the message that has permeated a church that once sought holiness and righteousness and now is just seeking the same value system of the world, greed and avarice driven? Man got 5 airplanes and he wants to spend $64 million on another one. Is that the pattern of Christ? Is that the pattern of any apostle of the 12? No, it is not. They were all killed for their faith and willing to die. Is that the pattern that has brought millions into churches and sold millions of books on how to do it, and millions, thousands, hundreds of thousands of pastors across America looking at all those people and all of that money and all of these buildings that have been built? It's what they preached. And what tragedy it has brought. Heartache. Unprepared for the perilous days of the last days. Totally unprepared for the persecutions that are beginning right now. Totally unprepared to go against the falling away. But just to go along with it. Just go along with it. Brother Venable, who are you? Look where you are now. Who are you? I'm just one of those holdouts that will not compromise the message. Amen. To get another person sitting in a chair to have a number count on Sunday morning. I want you to hear what the Spirit says to the church today. It is hard to be commissioned by God to bring His Word and His truth in a day when people that name the name of Christ do not embrace it. I remember back in the 80s, I would preach an hour and 30 minutes under a heavy anointing and no one even lead the building. This was that long ago, 80s. There was a move of God. We had hippies getting saved, baptized in water, praise God. Back in the 80s, healings were occurring. Something missing. Prosperity movement, where's the healings and the miracles they promise if you just build your faith? Oh, you can get stuff with it, but you can't get healed by it. Where's the children with cancer that are being healed like I was? Thank God I was in a church that didn't put the emphasis on airplanes and cars and houses and buildings and stone and steeples, but put it right on the presence and power of Christ. Amen. And the power of the Holy Spirit. Has a nation changed their gods? Has the church shifted the paradigm from the eternal and the spiritual to the physical and material? God says to ancient Israel, yeah, you did. For you have forsaken me, the fount of living water, and hewed yourself out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water, that you may add sin to sin. This is the double layer of sin. What is it? Sin on top of sin. First sin, you forsook me. Second sin, you replaced me with something else. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Simple. Because we don't need anything else or anyone else. But we're in desperate need of God's favor, God's help, and God's covering. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. So, pray for me. There's a comedian years ago, always adjusting his tie, said, "It's not easy being me. If you think I got it made for preaching like I do, you are very wrong. I don't have it made." People come against. Ever since we started, we've had trouble of some kind occur. We had a practicing witch sit in the back of the church, and people that sat around her said she murmured trying to cast spells on me. I had a spell all right, but it's a Holy Ghost spell. Hallelujah. You cannot curse. You can try, but you can't curse. You can say bad words and do all, but you can't curse what God has blessed. I stand here as a blessed man today. I'm glad to still have a pulpit. I'm glad to have somebody that will take what happens in this pulpit and put it up online. And maybe somebody out there will say, you know, I want to hear more. Or I want to heed more to what I have heard. I want to get back where the Word of God has the final authority and say in my life. And I want Jesus to be more than my sovereign. I'm more than my Savior. I want Him to be my sovereign. I want Him to be my Lord. I want Him to be my master. I want to deny myself, not indulge myself. I want to take up my cross, whatever that may involve, in order to identify with Him and serve Him and follow Him. Yeah. I'm willing to sacrifice whatever it takes. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. And I want to go not only to heaven, I want help down here. Amen. A mean old sheepdog. But you know what He's commissioned to? What has happened to the sheepdogs of today? Brother Taylor, what did the Bible say about the shepherd's dogs and the dogs that helped the watchman on the wall when the enemy came to do harm? What had those with the commission and the accountability, responsibility to do that, what had they become? What did the Bible call them? Yeah. Blind dogs.
Greedy dogs.
Yeah. Blind dogs. Number one, blind dogs. Yeah. Yeah. Number two, greedy dogs. Have you ever seen greed out of spiritual leaders like now? And blind. And if the blind lead the blind, what happens to everybody that follows them? Everybody ends up in the ditch. So it doesn't matter that what gives them credibility is not how many people follow them, it's how many people follow Christ instead of them. And in spite of them. And say, I don't want that, I want Him. Blind dogs, greedy dogs, ever getting and never, ever, ever having enough. Never. Every service is give me more. You got cancer, you want to get healed? Send me some money. Let me tell you something about your healing. There ain't enough money. I know isn't. I know the agent isn't. My formality, my dignity is out the door today. Amen. When I start nibbling, I don't have any dignity about it. Amen. Greedy. Blind dogs, greedy dogs. Never seen it on a level that we see it today. Bible speaks of the world trying to fill that chasm between them and God, that empty hole in them with things and stuff and all manner of sins. Greed driven. I want more. I tell you something about your healing. There's not enough money minted in the world for gold or silver Amen. Now, there's not enough money in the world to purchase what has been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus at the cross. Amen. They can't make enough money. For we were not redeemed, nor healed, nor delivered, nor set free, nor kept by silver and gold. Amen. But with the precious, powerful, perfect blood of Jesus Christ, of a Lamb without spot and without blemish. Can you say amen? Amen. The tradition of your fathers say it's going to take gold and silver to pay the ransom. God says there's not enough of that. But one drop of the blood of Jesus can do what all the riches of the world could never do. And how dare we sell it and tell people this, you've got to send money to get what he suffered and purchased as he bled out in pain on that cross. Freely you received, freely give. Not put a price on it. Oh, but Brother Venable, I had to sow my seed. He sowed the seed for your healing. You can't sow it. You can't sow it. You cannot buy it. This, it's not for sale. It's not like the things of the world. It's unlike anything the world has ever known. So a preacher one Sunday had a wheelbarrow full of prayer requests. All these desperate people, sick children, dying of diseases that medicine can't cure, reaching out for some hope. Getting a letter saying, if you sow a seed into this ministry and claim this scripture and blah, 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 blah. Wheelbarrow full of the hurt, the pain, the hopelessness of so many people grabbing at a straw for some help from God. And going over on television to pray over this big pile of hurt and hurting people. And saying, I can't even bring myself to pray if you haven't given and sown a seed. In other words, if there's not a check in the envelope, you don't even deserve me to pray over it. Is that not greedy? Is that in any way representative of this kingdom and this great King that we serve? There are buildings with that message that are full this morning. Full! People still greed-driven. Some of you have given to these guys and gals. How'd that work out for you? I can tell you how it worked out. It didn't work at all. And yet, the blind keep following. The world knows better. I said, the world, they look at us and say, how can y'all do that? You got Bibles, you claim to know Jesus. How can you follow that? And yet that has become the premier message in the last few decades. It has permeated the church. We have become the exact replica of Laodicea. I'm rich, increased with goods. Does that represent? I'm rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Yeah. Jesus is knocking. They said, we don't need you to bring this message of repentance to us. No, we don't need to repent. We just need to replenish all our stuff. You say, I'm rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. I say unto you, you're poor. What? You're miserable. What? You're blind. Poor, miserable, blind, and naked. You're not right with me. You have no covering. Buy me gold tried in the fire that you might be truly rich. What is gold tried in the fire? Would you ask me? tick tock, tick tock. Oh, thank you. That was a sheep nibble. I didn't mean for it to bite. Amen. What is gold tried in the fire? The Bible said that the trying of our faith to where it becomes stable and stalwart and settled. Amen. The trying of your faith, which is more precious than gold that perisheth. Though, oh, I feel the anointing here today. Amen. I wish there was 10,000 people in this audience. Which is more precious than gold tried in the fire. Though it be tried with fire, that trial that God brings you through instead of taking you from to keep you from adopting the values of this world and keeping your eyes on the prize and seeing the value of His kingdom greater than the kingdoms of this world. That you would never trade His kingdom with whatever persecutions that come with it for the kingdom of this world. It's more precious. The trial is more precious than gold that perisheth. Wow. What do you tell the church that was impoverished because of their faith in the book of Revelation? I know your poverty, but thou art rich. Evidently, a value system is entirely different in God's kingdom than this old fallen world. You're sacrificing for Jesus. You're the rich ones. The person with all the silver and the gold that didn't give a hoot about Jesus, they're the poor one. The kingdom of God, if it's really seen, appreciated, and appropriated, is like a pearl, invaluable, of great price. When a man really finds it, he goes and sells all that he sells out that he might obtain it, because he knows it's more precious than whatever he's going to give up to get it. He doesn't see it as a sacrifice. He sees it as a holy investment. Hallelujah. And it is eternal, that doesn't pass away. Amen. Amen. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, is like a treasure. You're going to get it and open it up and say, whoop-de-doo. No, it's a treasure hid in a field. When a man discovers a map that shows you where the field is and where the treasure's buried, he runs out, he sells his house, he sells his jet ski, he sells his Rolex, he sells his Bentley, amen, hallelujah, he sells everything he's got to purchase that field. But if you don't see it as a pearl of great price, and you don't see it, amen, as a treasure that the world can't even compare or compete with, you'll never sell out to God. Amen. You will sell God out for the world. Hard to preach when Christians are selling out to the world. Hard to preach the kingdom of God. And the reason miracles were occurring is because people were embracing the kingdom of God. And when they occurred, the kingdom of God has come near you. Amen. It's spiritual. Right. It's powerful. Right. Miracles occur. Prayers are answered. God shows up and God shows out. Hallelujah. And you can't buy it. And the kingdom of God is not without. It actually is within us. Kingdom means where a king rules in absolute, unopposed authority. And when Jesus becomes Lord of all and Lord of everything, we don't want just a religious experience. We want a real relationship with Him and to Him. That's the sheep nibble for the day. Now, how many are ready for the bite? Nobody. Okay. Have you ever been bitten in this service? In one of these services? You understand why some chairs are empty? Why should I go to church and get bit? Because if you don't let the sheep nibbler bite you to stay in the place of safety under the covering of God's Spirit, and you get out from under that, you have an enemy, and he is serious. You may not be serious, but he's seriously committed to your destruction. You ought to be seriously committed to God's instruction of how to defeat him. You'll never defeat him unless you take the word to heart to obey. And I'm not going to change that message. This is more important in the end time than it's ever been in the history of the church. Because if we don't receive that message that Jesus brought to Laodicea, we're going to go the way of the world, out from under God's covering. And when that irreverence for Christ and for God came, everybody say Communion Sunday. It's going to come around again real soon. Paul said, listen, in Corinthians to the church at Corinth, evil, wicked city, people compromising, listen carefully. There's a lot of people sick, and the prayer of faith isn't healing them. They're sick, and a lot of them sleep. Does that mean they're on sleep on God? We need to shake them old dry bones? No, it does not. It meant they're sick unto death, and there's no interruption. The disease takes its toll, and they are dying. This is serious, church. This is not nothing to play with. You can't play church. Amen. You can go to a church that'll let you play church. You won't get nibbled, and you'll never get bit. And they'll be glad to have you. And they'll welcome you. Unless you decide, I don't want this. This is not going to keep me safe. Amen. I want something to challenge me. Because I don't want to miss this wonderful privilege of being under God's covering, where he's keeping me by his power until the very day of redemption. Praise God. You start singing, take this whole world and give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I will not turn back. Whatever lies ahead and whatever it costs, I won't turn back.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That eliminates the backsliding. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And no ground for the devil. None. If you don't give it to him, he cannot and is not authorized to take it. But some sheepdog is going to have 20/20 spiritual vision. Can't be blind to the threat and therefore never preach on it. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, they're blind dogs. Your prophets have come. Your shepherds have become blind dogs. Sheep dogs. Think about it. Blind dogs. Greedy dogs. I just want to eat and take my nap.
Dumb dogs.
Dumb dogs. They are dumb dogs. Thank you, Brother Taylor, for using the paraphrase. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Everybody said, that's a dumb dog right there. Amen. Blind dogs, greedy dogs, which cannot bark. I got a bad dog sign on my door because he's a sheep dog. And he considers us his sheep. That's why he nibbles us. To get us to do what he wants. He's a good sheep dog. I got a bad dog sign on both my gates. Because if you come in my backyard, Ziggy has got your number. And I take no responsibility for what happens in my backyard. If you see a bad dog warning, or whatever it says, bad dog. Beware of dog. That's it. That includes bad dog. Beware of dog. He's a good dog to us, but oh honey. Amen. He has no muzzle on him. He has no leash on him. There's no chain on him. He's running loose, patrolling the backyard. He will kill a lizard. Amen. I can't imagine what he would do to someone who ignores the warning. Ignores the warning. And he does something else real good too. He got a bark, brother. Amen. He is not a chihuahua. Amen. He's not a yapper. This dog does not yap. He growls and he barks and he sounds the alarm. And when he barks, he's got backup. I know his bark. I know when he's barking at a dog, a possum, a raccoon passing through. I know the difference. When he barks, because there's something serious going on. Amen. There's a gate he can look out and see somebody walking down the road. If they pause and even look over that way. And when I hear that, guess what? I get up and I look out the window to see what's going on out there, because my dog just barked. And the Bible said, listen to what Jesus said before we close. Have a song and close. He talked about this. He talked about these things. Our Master talked about these things. And we need to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. This is what the apostle said, lest at any time we let them slip. I'm not here to preach something new and different every Sunday. I'm here to remind you of what you already know, and in danger many times of letting it slip unless we rehearse it once again and we bring it back in the forefront once again. I'm here to help you stay safe. Hallelujah. Not to give you carte blanche to go out and do anything you want in the name of grace. For the grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness, we should live soberly, get serious about our walk with God, be sober, be vigilant. Can you say amen? Righteously, a desire to be right with God, and godly in this present world. Hallelujah. This evil, wicked, fallen, sin-darkened, Satan-influenced world. Amen. My dog barks like that. I look to see, because he's alerted me. He's alerted me. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a dog that wouldn't bark. Amen. We used to babysit. Dogs sit a little dog, a little Shih Tzu, whatever you call them, Chinese dog, little. But I had a big old retriever, Sophie, big old retriever. We have a plate glass door. Sophie would get up to that door and she's looking. And that little dog would get over there by the big dog because she had backup. Amen. If she by herself, she didn't bark. But boy, when she got over there by my big dog, you should hear that little dog bark. You come over here, she'll get you. She'll buy you. She's my buddy. I grew up with a pastor that preached the whole truth. I didn't get the watered down version. I didn't get the world blended with the kingdom. We used to sing it, Brother Taylor, take this whole world and give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. And the trying of our faith is to bring us into that position of stabilization of our faith. Yeah. And at the moment it does, it's more precious than gold that perisheth, because it brings us something that is as of eternal value to our life. Can you say amen? After your one more scripture, give me grace this morning. After you've suffered for a while, There's a trial that he takes you through, not from.
Right. Yeah.
After you've suffered for a while, it's limited. Hang in there. Don't give up on God.
Right.
After you've suffered for a while, what happens? Because you've got to make a decision if he takes you through to keep trusting him or to start questioning him, doubting him, and in danger of turning away from him.
Yeah.
After you've suffered for a while, what is the result if you allow him and trust him to take you through?
Yeah.
He will establish you. Establish you. Scripture says establish you. You're no more double-minded. You're established in the faith. That's why people are laying down their life for him around the world today, because they have suffered under persecution, but they're established in their faith.
Amen.
And they will be faithful unto death if it becomes necessary. That's what God is. Thank God we're not in that kind of threat, but we still need that kind of faith. Can anybody say amen today?
Amen.
There are people falling away without the threat. Being disloyal to Christ without that kind of threat. They need to be established like that. He will establish you. He will settle you. Once he establishes you. You ever seen cement poured? Once it's poured, something's going to happen real quick. If you were to put your hand on it, have a handprint, or write something in it, the date that you poured that driveway or that walkway, do it quick. Because it's going to harden like that. Amen. If he establishes you, he settles you. And now you're a hard acre. You're a hard case. You're hard-headed and stubborn when it comes to the faith. Amen. Hallelujah. You just won't give in. You won't compromise. And then he will establish, strengthen, and then settle you. And now you will not be moved. We used to sing it. I shall not be moved.
Amen.
I shall not be moved. Just like a tree established, strengthened, settled by the river. I shall not be moved. Hallelujah. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed us yet.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The moment we put the emphasis on preparing our heart to get our prayers answered, to see what God wants to do through every person who prays, the devil got really seriously upset that we might actually get ourselves in that position. Because then we become a channel for God to use to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. He starts us a praying, and the devil says, if I don't hit them hard and get them to shift the focus, they're going to find that place in God where miracles happen, where the power of God, hallelujah, shows up and shows out. And that burden that we have on us is lifted from us. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Did anybody get nibbled today?
Amen.
But was it a good nibble? I got to where I like it. When my doggie comes up and it's supper time, I don't have to see if it's 6 o'clock. He knows. And he don't wear a watch either. He just knows. He's intuitive. I see on YouTube, I saw a dog bring his bowl right in front of his master and slam it down and look at him. Supper time. My dog don't do that. He's not that smart to bring us a bowl or nothing. He don't do tricks. If you throw a ball, he says, you threw it, you go get it. Amen. Which may be pretty smart after all. Amen. Give me a fist bump over here. I got to have a fist bump from somebody today. Hallelujah. But boy, he'll come in, he'll stare at me. And if I know it's supper time. I already know it. Then he'll come over. He'll find a bare place on my arm. He'll find my hand, and he'll nibble Got my attention. I said, "You want supper?" Okay. I'll go fix his supper so we can eat supper without him begging. Amen. He gets fed first. He's a sheepdog. I'm learning from him. That when he sheep nibbles and even when he bites if necessary, it's because he is trying to keep the sheep in the enclosure where the shepherd defends them, and the lion knows it. And also, if a wolf decides, "I'm going to jump over that enclosure and I'm going to take one of them sheep out," the sheep dogs are big enough. Their bite is designed to be powerful as the wolf's in terms of the PCI, the pressure that it can put on. They usually have a lot of hair under their chin, the big sheep dogs, because that means when that wolf goes for their throat, he can't get it for all that hair. Amen. But then he is heavy enough and strong enough to throw that wolf down, and he gets a hold of that wolf by the throat and says, "If you think you're going to take a sheep out of this fold, you're going to have to go through me to do it. Amen. And I'm not going to allow you to do it." Amen. And you'll be, listen, but he barks, he defends, and he herds because he's a sheepdog. He's not blind. He can see. He sees the enemy coming. He sees the threat. I come in here with a message I've studied. It might change immediately depending on the need in the congregation. But I've never preached a message that God didn't give me to preach. I'll tell you that straight up. Because when he changes it, I go with it. There could be a message that make you give me a hand clap at the end, or a message that make you kind of frown through it. I'm not looking for the hand clap, and I'm trying not to look at the frowns. Because I do get frowns. And I don't only get frowns, I get people that say, "I don't want to be under that ministry anymore. Because this is no longer the 80s. That era of spiritual fervor has come. The Jesus movement among young people and hippies, that era has come and it's gone. Doesn't mean we can't have a revival, but it's going to take people that embrace truth and open their life and heart to the message of repentance, so that God can bring restoration even in the end time generation. Amen. There's hope today in Jesus. Hallelujah. How many are feeling, now that we're talking about prayer and now that you're allowing the Holy Spirit into your heart to work, that you've had some heavy trials hit you recently? Anybody in here, heavy trials recently that have come? Can you say amen? I have. So you're not alone. I have. I expect them, but I never enjoy them. I don't like them, but I know it goes with the territory. And I'm not willing to change in order to get a few more people sitting in chairs, to herd them in and herd them back out into a world that wants their destruction without sounding a clear warning from the pulpit. Amen. So will you receive warning from this pulpit on Sundays? Amen. I don't get around. You get around sometime. You have time to go for Wednesday night or Sunday night. You went to a service in some Pentecostal church. They played a video. Everybody went home. It was just kind of business as usual, which is no real spiritual business at all. Pentecostal church, representing the power of God, and yet we become an impotent religious gathering with a great history of power and presence, but no manifestation anymore. fulfilling what Jesus said. You got a name that represents a legacy of power that lives, but you're dead. You whiten up the outside to the whole religious body of his day. You whitewash, you present this image of religiosity and commitment and devotion. But inside, you paint the sepulcher. Your sepulcher is a tomb. You're really just a tomb for death. But you represent something that's so beautiful and alive. But inside, where God comes to look, you're full of the bones of dead men. You're a whitened. This is the scribe, the Pharisee, the religious elite of his day. That's what it had become. But inside, you're full of dead men's bones. But look at that edifice. Look at that cathedral. Look at that thing that you built that represents presence and power of Christ. But inside, where it really matters. Oh, I want to be right with God. Real with God. I don't want the 80s back. I want God's move for the end time. It's going to have to be more powerful because there wasn't as much opposition in the 80s, which allowed for more expression of the faith. But the opposition is strong now. It's going to take a mighty move of God to counteract it. But God is a mighty God. And when he starts working in-house to get it prepared to be a vehicle and a vessel of honor meet for the master to use in these days, we're going to get the sheep nibbles, maybe a bite or two. Amen. But what God is going to accomplish is worth hearing and heeding his word. Thank you for coming to church today. A few more of you go, we won't have no meeting here. Amen. A few more people, slack off. Stay home, not care, not give, not help.
We're going to have more coming.
I believe it. And you know who's going to come? It's not people that take it all for granted. Yeah, Brother Bill will be in the pulpit nibbling and biting, and sometimes I like to hear that, be under that anointing. I'm not bored under that anointing. Never know what he's going to say or do. You don't take that for granted. It cost me family. I don't have friends made out of ministry. 50 years of ministry. And you don't make lasting friendships. 50 years of being there for people in their time of direst, greatest need. And you don't have somebody that says, Pastor, I appreciate you. I care about your sacrifices, what it's meant to me and my family. Every now and then, someone will say that. 50 years, and sometimes you feel like Moses on top of the hill. A lonely, isolated man standing there with his hands up in intercession. That if it wasn't for Aaron and hers to see his need and see the battle ebbing and flowing on his intercession. They didn't just lift up his hands, church. They rolled a stone over under him. Can I demonstrate? Thank you for the amen. I like demonstrating this, Aaron and her business. Aaron, they rolled a stone under him. Her. Yeah, you could be her. I don't mean that gender-wise. Okay. He said, I ain't no her. Okay. Good man. Good man right there. Aaron.
Come on,
Her? Him. Him be her. Is that all right? All right. I want y'all to hold them up. I don't want to have to hold them up. I want you to hold them up. You know how long that I can stay in ministry and intercede and preach the everlasting gospel of the kingdom of God as long as there's somebody that says, I need to support him, not taking for granted that he's just going to be there every Sunday without anybody sowing anything. I'm not talking about money here. I'm talking about something money can't purchase. I could do this all day long. In fact, next Sunday, I think I'll sit right here and have them hold up my hands and occasionally hold up a Bible for me. No, this is essential, because when his, you can let me go now and be seated, when his hands came down, when his hands came down, the enemy prevailed and Israel began to be slaughtered by the enemy. Lift up the hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knee, lest it be turned out of the way. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. When you say one word of encouragement, you lift me up. Praise God. When you pray for me, you lift me up before the Lord who lifts me up spiritually. And I love you and I appreciate you. And God is the only one that can prosper us. We have no program to do it. We don't have a premier preacher that has the personality to do it. Only God can do it.
Amen.
And except God build the house, all us laborers, it's all in vain. We'll burn ourselves out and it won't make a bit of difference. I don't want to do that. I've been there, done that. It didn't work. Praise God. Except the Lord keep the city, even they that watch in vain. But in the early church, when they got it right with God, the Lord added, not for a number count, not for the coffers of the treasury, but for salvation. Listen to it. For salvation, for salvation, for salvation. It's not just taking the same old saints, doing the same old thing until they're tired of it and they just go off hunting some other same old. Listen, the Lord added to the church
daily
such as should be saved. People, and I believe that includes backsliders, not because they're totally lost, but they're away from God and they need to come back to God. Hallelujah. So I'm looking for some people to come that said, nibble me. I don't want to be destroyed. Bite me if necessary, but when you're done, know that I have been loved enough to be told the truth by somebody that loves my soul more than my money, my endorsement, my embrace, or my fellowship. Someone has paid a price to love you that much. And the price is still being exacted. And I'm willing to keep paying it because the joy of knowing I'm doing what God sent me to do and saying what God told me to say. Which brings me to a song, and I don't have the music to it. If I do what the Lord say do, and if I say what the Lord say, say. If I do what the Lord say, do, do, do. Everything will be all right. You ever heard that?
No.
You haven't? You haven't?
No.
It's been around a long time, brother. I got to bring you up to date. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's try it before we have a covering song. If I do what the Lord say, do. If I say what the Lord say, say. If I do what the Lord say, do, do, do. Everything will be all right. Notice that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Will you stand today? Did you get something out of this service? Thank you, Brother Taylor. Word in season, word of encouragement. The Lord is going to send somebody that says, I want this. I don't want that, and I don't want that. I want this. And those people will come, commit, and they will stay. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you for the word. Thank you for the truth today. Appreciate it.
Thank you for thanking me. Hallelujah. Praise God.
I have a prayer request. Pray that we would get out of debt this year.
This year, me too. How many want to join in a get out of debt prayer? Lord have mercy. I'm trying to keep my head above water. I think I'm going to need a snorkel to survive until something changes. It's hard to stay out with everything going through the roof. How many had bought gas this week? Or I sold a kidney at the Shell station. Started to sell another one at the Texaco, but then I realized if I sell both of them, then I can't even get here, even though my tank is full. God is good, though. He'll help us through this tough time. We need that war to be quickly brought to an end with Iran. Someday I'll preach on the Prince of Persia, what's really happening behind the scenes in all of the other political and military stuff. Amen. But not today. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Your pastor is encouraged by the Lord and by you today. And I know maybe others will join us next week. I pray they will. But I pray that some people that are being pulled by the world will want to find a way to get out of that rip current. They want to hear a message that will pull them out. Praise God. Hallelujah. They'll get that message in this little gathering right here. Thank you for supporting it. Thank you for showing up. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing up every Sunday without fail. Amen. Praise God.